It is that time. Good morning, beautiful people. Nashville, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you're streaming 104.5 The Zone. Welcome in on this Tuesday. We're excited to spend some time with you from 10 to 1 here on 104.5 The Zone. Luke is here. I am here. You guys are here. Whether you're here on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch TV, 104.5 The Zone, all of these platforms, you can hang out with the show. You can act like you're in studio here with us if you so choose, or listen terrestrially, however you want to do it. We're everywhere, baby. We're giving you the content wherever it is. You can be given the content if you want to interact with the show, of course, 615-737-1045. Got a fun one prepped for you. Alex Doherty, my teammate at A to Z Sports, the Nashville Predators, a big win last night. They're hanging on to that fourth spot in the Central for dear life. Victorious once again against the hated Chicago Blackhawks. Good for the Preds. I'm going to yell about their social media channels later, but the team is good. The team is good at this point. We're going to spend some time with Austin Burledge of Power T Tape, the orange and white game coming up this weekend for the Tennessee Volunteers. Josh Heupel was on J Mart and Ramon this morning. We will react to some of the things that he said about the program and how it basically conflicts with how everybody else is talking about his football team. Look forward to that. Lucas is very, very passionate about this Super League concept in international soccer, how it's a poison, a plague to the beautiful game. We'll talk about what that means. He'll explain that in more detail. And William Hill has put out win totals for all 32 NFL teams, the Tennessee Titans. It is not going to shock you how many games they are projected to win. It's going to shock you and should frankly offend you who is projected to win more games in their own division than the Tennessee Titans for not one single reason that I can figure out. All of those things over the course of the next 3 hours. But we start in the obvious place. We start with Daquan Jones. As Lucas said in his update, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is saying that Daquan is in Carolina for a visit today. He is expected to leave. Or not expected to leave, rather. He is expected to not make it out of the building. He's expected to sign a one-year deal. So, this was basically, for all of the players that the Titans were set up to lose organically, for lack of a better term, who the Titans were set to lose in free agency, among their 20 unrestricted free agents at the time that free agency began, Daquan Jones felt like he was most out the door. Most out the door by anybody. Now, there was mutual interest in Daquan staying and in the Titans and keeping him, but he's going to be too expensive. The Titans have already spent defensive tackle money on another defensive tackle, one that they got from the Indianapolis Colts in Danico Autry, who can maybe not play as pure, play the nose tackle position as pure as somebody like Daquan Jones can and could and did very, very well here. From the time that he was drafted. In fact, Daquan Jones, probably one of the most underrated interior defensive linemen in the league. You're not better for having lost him. You're hoping that the additions that you made can help mitigate some of the things that you will lose in the middle of your defense. That is going to happen. Now, what happens next is, what does this mean for the Titans? What does this mean for the draft that's taking place in Cleveland, the first round in 9 days? Does that pick of Christian Barmore sound more appealing now that you know? We talked to Dane Brugler yesterday. Does that selection in Dane Brugler's 7-round mock draft of the Alabama defensive tackle Christian Barmore for the Tennessee Titans in 22, does that sound more appealing to you now that you know for certain, or almost a certainty, that Daquan Jones is not going to be back next year? Do you trust Tyre Tarte, Laurel Murchison, the players who are tasked with the depth for the Tennessee Titans up front right now? This is the question. I really think that they're in a better place as a defense, despite them. It's a big loss. Daquan is not only well-respected in that locker room, not only somebody who has made his family here, made his life here in Middle Tennessee since being drafted out of Penn State. He has been a superb piece at a position that is not very heralded. A position, though, that is extremely important in this division, given that the Texans, how many running backs, Lucas? Do we know how many running backs the Texans ended up signing, because they have signed 30 free agents. They have no draft picks because Bill O'Brien's an oaf as a general manager. No draft picks. So instead, they're signing every running back that you've ever heard. I'm pretty sure Philip Lindsay.
Mark Ingram.
Is a Houston Texan. Mark Ingram is a Houston
David
Texan.
David Johnson, still a Houston Texan.
Didn't he get an extension? They're signing all of the running backs. And so you also have a division where you're going to have a rookie quarterback for the Jacksonville Jags. They're going to want to bolster the emphasis on their run game to take some pressure off of assuming it's Trevor Lawrence. Everybody imagines that it will be Trevor Lawrence at this point. I don't think anybody's disputing who's going to go first overall. And the Indianapolis Colts, who we'll talk about later in the show, whose offensive line has gotten a little bit worse in Anthony Costanzo retiring, the left tackle who's been so good for them for so long. But they pride themselves on their running game too. That's also going to be important given who the Colts quarterback is, which when last we saw Carson Wentz, he seemed to be fundamentally broken. As a player, running in this division or the run defense in this division is critical. It's, you know, you could argue that it's critical no matter what team you're playing for, or what teams you're facing, or what division that you're in. But the emphasis on the running game as a part of offensive football in the AFC South, it still remains crucial in a way that not every other team has embraced it quite this same way. Now, obviously, the Tennessee Titans, that's what they are. That's who they are. That's what they do. That is something that is going to be very, very interesting to see how it plays out. 615-737-1045. I mean, Tyrae Tart, I kind of like. There wasn't a huge sample size of Tyrae Tart last year. Undrafted rookie free agent. Got a couple opportunities. Played in six games last year. He started one because of the injuries, all of the injuries that they had up front. Forgive me, played in seven, started one game last year. Like if you're going to box score scout Tyrae Tart, he's not going to jump off the page at you. But that's not what an interior defensive lineman does. Tyrae Tart is somebody who I could be comfortable with getting a third of the snaps on the defensive line for the Titans, especially in some kind of rotation, especially if you've got the kind of top-end talent that you do up front in Danico Autry, and of course Jeffrey Simmons, who's basically the piece that they're building everything else in this defense around. The best player on this defense. We assume that Jeffrey Simmons, even with the addition of Bud Dupree, or maybe, is that a safe assumption? I think that Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on this defense. I'm not looking at the inside linebackers. I'm not necessarily looking at the outside linebackers. The secondary is different, so that remains to be determined. Kevin Byard is paid like he's the best player on the defense.
From the returning players last year, based on what they did in 2020 and what we know, yeah, he's absolutely the best player on this defense.
And so things are being built around him. Tyrae Tart is going to factor into this equation. He has some juice.
But if the Titans believe, and we don't know this, but if they believe Laurel Murchison can take another step in his development, is that even a need right now?
So that's where it becomes interesting, right? How much emphasis do you want to put on long-term sustainability just in terms of interior defensive linemen, right? Because Simmons is going to be due a contract in the next couple of years. Obviously, you still have the fifth-year option at your disposal. He was drafted in 2019. So there's some time on that. Danico Autry's on a three-year deal, but ask Dennis Kelly about how three-year deals with the Titans look. You can be out 1 year from the day that you sign that. But there's nothing based on, and we'll see how his 2021 looks, but there's nothing about Danico Autry's play, there's nothing about Danico Autry physically that would indicate that he's getting ready to diminish. So you want a player who's going to contribute more than what? What would a draft pick at interior defensive line be playing right now if he was to immediately leapfrog Tyrae Tart and Laurel Murchison on the depth chart? Like 30, 40% of the snaps? You want somebody who's going to contribute more to that, because given the idea that you have more needs, right? Given the idea that you think you have another starting outside wide receiver in Josh Reynolds, but you're not sure. You still need a slot receiver. You still need a third receiver to help bolster the strength of that position group for the Tennessee Titans offense. You still need a starting tight end. You probably do with a tackle. Like now there are, even if Daquan Jones is leaving, And but for all intents and purposes, we can consider Daquan Jones gone based on Ian Rappaport's reporting today. I still think that they could do with some help up front. I'm just not looking at Christian Barmore and saying, yeah, I understand how bad the interior defensive line depth is. You see some of the quotes coming out yesterday about this being the worst class that, you know, they always anonymous quotes, right, that are given by league executives right now, scouts talking to media. But there were several people out there tweeting yesterday talking to people in the league, anonymous sources, about how this is the worst defensive line, interior defensive line class that some of them have seen in their careers. And that's really based on really anybody that you talk to. We spent some time with Coach Mack on this, more on the guys on the ends, on the outside, the edge defenders, lumping linebackers and defensive ends into that category. That is not a great position group heading into this draft. You're looking at Quiddy Pay, who's probably, I don't know by consensus, but by most people's measures, Quiddy Pay, the end out of Michigan, talked about as the best defensive edge player in this class. They're talking about him going 10th. There are no Joey Bosas. There are no Chase Youngs. There are no dominant defensive edge players in this draft based on what this class looks like. And in fact, we talked to Dane Brugler about this yesterday. Dane Brugler, who was responsible for the biggest, baddest draft handbook of all of them, and I include the GOAT, Mel Kiper, in that conversation, the Beast. Dane was on the radio show yesterday, and here's what he had to say about necessarily what may not be the biggest need for the Titans, but why he looks at Christian Barmore as an intriguing prospect.
Well, and I think that's, we have to remember that, you know, the first people, most fans will correlate their first round pick with the top need. And that's just, we watch the draft every year, and that's just not how it plays out. The board doesn't always fall that way where, you know, the top need matches the top talent. But it, also a lot of GMs, they're forward thinking. They're not just thinking about that, the upcoming season and, okay, what's the missing piece? You know, it's not like Madden where that's what you're trying to do. You're looking at long term, make us the best team, who's a regular, very young, still learning, but the ceiling on this player is super high. 6'4", 310, almost 34-inch arms. He's a guy that just doesn't like to stay blocked. And so you can line him up. He played more of a defensive end role at Alabama in their 3-4, their hybrid front. Guys that your rotation out there anyways, he's still going to see a good amount of snaps. So I don't think that's as much of a worry, me personally. But I would understand why some fans would be, you know, kind of look at that and say, well, that's not what we need. But kind of how the board falls.
So that's Dane Brugler talking about, you know, how we kind of go about, again, we spent a lot of time on this yesterday, right? How people who talk about the NFL draft think differently than the people who do the actual drafting, right? What Dane is saying there seems like it should be clear and obvious to everybody that the NFL draft does not necessarily, that the first round pick does not necessarily correlate to the team's greatest position of need, right? So what would we consider the greatest position of need for the Titans? Would it be the tight end? Would it be the receiver? Corner, still a need, a position of need at this point. We spent some time yesterday going on about how I, based on my mock draft that I did for the Draft Network, I waited till the fourth round to get a receiver because you forget how many damn receivers there are in this draft. We'll spend some time on that over the course of the show. Obviously, the ramp up for the NFL draft is going to be spectacular here on 104.5 The Zone. But in the meantime, we have to talk about something else, another team that's been performing spectacularly. Lucas Panzeca's Nashville Predators will be joined by my A to Z Sports teammate, Alex Doherty, to talk some puck. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. No funny business. No funny business for the Nashville Predators. Buck Rising with you until 1 o'clock. Here on 104.5 The Zone, man, I want to be in. I do. People don't think I want to be in, but I do. I just can't deal with the vibing thing. We'll get into that later on. In the meantime, we have Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports, Nashville.com, my teammate, my brother, my partner in crime. What's going on this morning?
How's it going? This just in, Buck hates vibes, I guess.
It's a bad look.
I hate cheesy marketing. I hate corny marketing. The Preds are kings of that. This is something that I will complain about later, because I don't want it to come off like I'm rooting against a hockey team. I just hate how they're so. Anyway, different. We'll save that for later on in the show. I have many complaints. In the meantime, they won big last night, 5-2. After getting smacked around a little bit by Carolina, which I think most people expected, they have been utterly dominant against the Blackhawks over the course of this season. But the biggest story, naturally, Alex, is Duchesne back in the lineup, performing admirably. How would you evaluate him after having the long layoff?
Oh, I think Matt Duchesne's going to be fine. I think he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to take a long time to get back in the lineup. He's 30 years old. He knows what he's doing. We don't know the nature of the injury, so you don't know exactly what he's trying to move past with that. But, yeah, he gets a nice tip goal in front. Him and Eric Halla both playing in the front of the net. That's good to see. I think Duchesne still needs to find his speed game. I think he would say that as well, because that's how he scores. I mean, that's his bread and butter is using speed through the neutral zone, using speed in the offensive zone to create space. Puck skills. He's a good shooter, but he's really just a fast guy. And if he can get that back as quickly as possible, you know, the Predators will be doing better. I think Duchesne really probably watched, you know, this team while he was out. I can't imagine that he didn't watch what was going on and say, you know what, these young guys are playing with a lot of speed as well. I mean, like, there's a lot of young players on this team that can really move up and down the ice. And so when I come back, I'm going to have to step it up and do that same thing. So I think it's going to be a good thing to see. He's obviously going to take someone's roster spot, right? I mean, he's not going to sit. He's an $8 million forward. He's got to produce, though. You know, he's only got 4 goals and 5 assists on the season. That's not $8 million numbers. He's got to produce better than that. So we'll see if that happens.
Okay, because this is the conversation we've kind of been having about Matt Duchesne, right? How does the lineup change? How does the effectiveness of the lineup change after being so toothless at the start of the season when he was a part of it and seemingly having forced John Hines' hand to play a lot of these younger guys? Now, obviously, injuries have been really the story of the season for the Preds, despite the way that they've kind of rebounded outside of the actual rebound itself. Is Duchesne simply playing because of his contract, because of the optics of having an $8 million player sit, or does he still have the potential to make this team better, to take them to another level in a way that he has thus far, Alex, shown that he has not been capable of doing?
So let's rewind for a second and go back to when Kyle Turris, who is a $6 million forward, was benched by Peter Laviolette for, I think it was 8 games, something like that.
Yeah.
And then basically Kyle Turris just flamed out and then was bought out and all that. This is nothing like that with Matt Duchesne. Matt Duchesne is a much better player than Kyle Turris, you know, was. And so it should not be seen as, oh, they're just playing him because they have a lot of money at stake here and they need to play their big money forward. Matt Duchesne is a high performing forward. When he's on his game, he is still one of the better forwards on this team. In terms of pure skill, I mean, he's just better than most people, most skaters. So it's not a situation where they feel reluctant and they have to play him because of the money. I think they really feel like he's better than a Cale Yarncroke. He's better than Rocco Grimaldi. He's better than Nick Cousins. He's better than Halla and Luke Cunning. He's a top 6 forward on this team when he's on his game. So they just need to get him back to that.
Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. He is the host of the Preds Nashcast every Sunday in the A to Z Sports Podcast Network feed. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, all of these good things. So the thing that's right now plaguing them the most, Alex, is the power play. Since Elli Tolvanen has been on the injured list with Philip Forsberg, the Predators are without a power play goal at this point. How does this correct itself, or is it just a matter of waiting until these guys return in a way that's going to make a substantial difference, or is this just, are we going to go back to complaining about the Preds on the power play in a way that is reminiscent of the Peter Laviolette era?
Well, yeah, you can always complain about the power play. That's death and taxes with Nashville Predators. I mean, that's always been in the bag. But No, I think once they get Ellie Tolvanen and Philip Forsberg back, it'll return to its kind of where it was for about a month there. Because what happens on the power play, you know, especially where those two players play, they play on opposite sides of the ice. So you've got Ellie Tolvanen on the left side and then Philip Forsberg on the right side. Sometimes they switch, but most of the time that's where they end up. And when you have two lethal shooters, I mean, there's nine power play goals between the both of those players on the ice. When you have lethal shooters like that on both sides, the defense just has to give up somewhere. I mean, they have to shade to one side. They have to play strong to one side. They can't just you know, allow both players to be wide open. And they're such good passers, and Roman Josi is so good at quarterbacking it. Once those players are on the ice, the opposing team's penalty kill just has to play differently. It just has to change. Without those players, they don't have to do nearly as much work. They are sitting back and just kind of reacting and then clearing the puck like it's nothing. Because after those two players, there's really a big drop off in terms of power play scoring ability. So once they get back, I think it'll get back to where we saw it in its heyday back a month ago.
Alex, last night, two goals in the third period. They kill it off almost right away after the second intermission. And some of their best performances over the last 2-3 weeks, it's been in the third period, closing out games. Three goals in the 7-2 win against the Lightning. Four third period goals in the 7-1 win against the Red Wings. In these performances, what are they doing differently after the second intermission? Why are they playing so well in the third period in some of their best performances?
Okay, so I think I've got a pretty good idea of what's going on here. And I think it has to do with an emergence of a particular group of forwards that is causing the other teams a lot of headaches. And something that the Predators have not had very well, or have not had a great unit in this area for a while now, maybe ever, and that would be their fourth line. So I was doing some diving into the numbers here and looking at their fourth line, and I'm talking about Colton Sissons, Jakob Trenin, and Tanner Janot right now. Previously, Matthew Olivier, but he's been out with an injury. Those three forwards, as a fourth line, your main job is to win a faceoff, get the puck out of your zone, get it into the offensive zone, and get a whistle, and allow, you know, spend some time, put some pressure on the other team, but get an offensive whistle so that the top unit can come back out and get a chance to score. This line has been doing a whole lot more of that. And when you have a fourth line that can put that much pressure on opposing teams, it just makes the other lines better. I mean, they've never really had a group like this. They can do so much, and they're scoring as well. I mean, like, they're doing more than even some other lines, like the third line is doing right now. So they've been really kind of a joy to watch. I mean, just they play physical, they're fast, they can play with skill. I think that's honestly one of the reasons why they've been able to close out some teams and play better late in the game, because these other lines have to focus so much on Johansson and Duchesne and Arvidsson and all the, and the defense. They don't really have an answer for these previous AHLers, Jakob Trenin and Tanner Janot, coming up and playing like they're top six players. So the fourth line to me is one of the big improvements in this team over the last year or so.
Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. The praise is pouring in for both Alex and for Lucas's question on Twitch TV. Raymond Pfister has written in, thank you, Lucas. That's a great question. Seems like we still think we can turn it on anytime. Look at this. Lucas's head is going to get all big. Because
thank you,
receiving.
Raymond.
Shut up. Unbelievable. Alex Doherty here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, I'm not going to take a crack at Eric, the defenseman's last name, because I'm going to butcher it.
Goodbranson.
Goodbranson? Okay, Goodbranson. Eric Goodbranson.
Yeah, that's right.
Signed at the trade deadline, played last night. What did you make of him?
Oh, he's fine. I don't think Eric Goodbranson's going to make a huge difference on this team. He's played in a couple games. I think he looks about like we would expect, what is he, 29, 30 years old, yeah, defenseman. He's not great. I mean, he's definitely a bottom pairing. I don't think he will be unless he just finds another gear, I don't think he's going to play in the playoffs necessarily. I think they're probably going to wait till they get some of these other guys back, especially like Alex Carrier, who played really well before he went down. He's fine. I think it was a very low cost move. It was very typical of David Poile to go get someone like this, just some depth defense. If he has a bad game or two, he'll probably come out of the lineup, and we might not really remember him. And he's an expiring contract, so Don't go buy any Eric Goodbranson jerseys if they even have those right now.
I'm sure Lucas is running to the pro shop right now to go.
Damn it, Alex. Already bought it.
He has this on back order. He had to custom order this Eric Goodbranson jersey. All right. Preds 6-0 against the Blackhawks this season, Alex. This is such a stark contrast. Such a and I understand that this season is different when you're just playing within your division, given the way that the pandemic has kind of affected the structure of hockey. But 6-0 against the Blackhawks, that would have that was the unthinkable when I first got to Nashville 5 years ago. After, you know, really, I believe it was either you or our friend Adam Vingan that tweeted out the quote from Joe Quenneville, who was at the time the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, talking about the pressure at this time of year being on Nashville at that point in the series.
Yeah.
When they were up against each other, heading into that Stanley Cup run that they ended up having. Is there any kind of significance to being, it, I guess just for Preds fans, to have this to be able to hold over Chicago's head and be, and you know, just in all good-natured fun and sports rivalry saying, suck it, Chicago, we're 6-0 against you.
Yeah, a quick note on that quote. That was that quote made Preds fans so angry. If you can imagine, they were up 3-0 in the series, and then Patrick Kane comes out and says, well, the pressure's all on Nashville. And you can imagine Preds fans were just livid, and it was spread like wildfire. So I had just happened to remember that quote, and it was the four-year anniversary of that, so I tweeted that out. But look, it's not just Chicago. I should mention this. You know, the Preds have 25 wins this year. 17 of those have come against Columbus, Detroit, and Chicago.
Yeah.
4 of them are against Tampa, Carolina, and Florida. Only 4. So they are feeding on teams just below them, and they are dying against teams above them. It's not even close. I mean, they did have the 1-7-2 win over Tampa. That's an impressive win. You can't deny them that. But not even coming close against Carolina, who now looks like the best team in the Central, does not bode well if you're going to win that fourth playoff spot and go against Carolina. It does not bode well for your franchise chances. But just because you mentioned Chicago, yeah, 6-0 against Chicago. I really thought Chicago was going to be better than this year, and they've had some injuries. They've been without Jonathan Toews all year. They've got some good young players, but I don't think there's any way that Chicago is going to really pressure them. Maybe if Chicago wins these next 2 games and Dallas falls off, maybe Chicago could jump them. But I think it's really between Nashville and Dallas at this point.
He is Alex Doherty, Preds writer for A to Z Sports. You can throw him a follow at AlexDoherty1 on the socials. Of course, the Preds Nashcast with Link every Sunday in the A to Z Sports podcast network feed. I am going to talk about the vibes and all of the vibes and the bad vibes that it's giving me. Alex, do you think I'm being unnecessary? Before I let you go, do you think I'm being unnecessarily harsh to the hockey team because I hate their Twitter account?
No, I think it's fair. This team really knows how to kill a joke. So it's if there's anyone on the earth that knows jokes, it's Buck Rising.
You know, that's all the validation I need. Make it a drop. Thank you, Alex. Have a great Tuesday.
All right. See you guys later.
Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports here with us on 104.5 The Zone. He's right. I know comedy. I am now the judge of all comedy. By the way, if you guys want to send in questions for our guest, I don't know why I just thought of this, but this is a great use of the Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitch streams. You guys want to send questions for our guest? I literally have all of your comments up on 4 screens in front of me. It's going to give me some kind of radiation, I'm sure, but it's very, very easy for you to be able to squeeze a question in for our guest anytime you want to interact with them. So like Raymond has been doing throughout the course of the show on Twitch, no matter which platform that you're streaming 104.5 The Zone TV on, you can ask a question of our guest. And if I deem it worthy, then it will make the show, like Farsender says on YouTube. That's awesome. Yes, Farsender, it is. I can do it in real time. worst ever Preds Pedal Tavern, says Puka Hare. Oh, yes, the marketing, the Pedal Tavern, the on-ice Pedal Tavern that was. So this is the question that I want to pose to the audience. No matter where you're watching, no matter where you're listening, if you want to call in, please do. 615-737-1045. I have a visceral reaction to the Nashville Predators Twitter account. Like, in the same way, I don't know how many of you were listening to the show that last week. I hope many of you, because we love to have all of you around here as much as humanly possible. But Lucas and I had, like, we recoiled from our microphones when 3HL had that promo talking about You know, remember when rap used to be good and I made a face like I smelled something bad because they're talking about my music and I don't need a bunch of, you know, people my parents' age telling me, and I love Dawn and Brett. That's Dawn's going to, uh-oh, Lucas.
Dawn, I have no part in this.
Oh, no. I felt that happening in real time and I couldn't stop myself. This is why I can't have this many hours today, or this is why I can't have this many hours to myself to talk to myself because I'm going to get in trouble. I love you, Dawn. Please don't hit me. But I don't need two people of my parents' age telling me what I do and don't know about music. I'm sorry, I don't. So in the same way that Lucas and I had that reaction to that promo, and I'm trying to pin Lucas in here with me as much as I can so not all of the heat is on me when Dawn comes after us. But I have that same reaction to the Preds Twitter account. And I want to know if I'm being unfair, because it's not a lot of Preds fans that come after me anytime they win a game, but it's like they've gained some kind of victory over me when the Preds win, I have no rooting interest against the Preds. Like, I don't understand where this reaction is coming from. So if you think that I am being unfair to the hockey team and you would like to defend the hockey team and the Twitter account to maybe point something out that I am missing outside of their cheesy marketing that makes me, it just, I tweeted Lucas yesterday after I saw the Vibes towels that they had for everybody walking into Bridgestone Arena. I tweeted yesterday that they deserve to lose every game from here on out for running it into the ground. It's just so cheesy. Oh God, Dawn's already texted me.
Oh no.
Oh God,
find out. I had nothing to do with it, Dawn.
We're in so much trouble. I'm in so much trouble. Find out what Dawn Davenport said to me via text. Hopefully it's FCC safe. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, I feel like we may see my life end on these airwaves. It's like, you know, our good friend Dawn Davenport, who's the host of 3HL, who is texting me very, very aggressively this morning here on 104.5 The Zone. She often says that she's an open mic away from being fired. I think that I'm probably far closer than she is. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock here on 104.5 The Zone, or live streaming wherever it is you choose to consume us. I see people on YouTube. I see people on Facebook. I see people on Twitch. I see people on Twitter Live. We welcome your participation throughout the course of the show. Now, I don't know what is going to happen with this next bit that we're going to try and pull off. But I do believe that there is going to be some chastising of me on air because I'm slowly working my way up on Dawn Davenport's hit list. And that is not a place that you want to exist. I don't think I have to tell most of you, many of you who listen to this show, I'm certain also listen to 3HL. So you know that Dawn Davenport's bad side is not a place that you want to be. But I'm hoping that we can survive this diplomatically, and I feel like I've already fired the first shot, so now Dawn Davenport is here on the radio show. Good morning, Dawn.
Clown. You are an absolute clown. Do you seriously think I'm your parents' age?
I don't know.
I mean, that was like the worst thing that you could have actually said. Oh. I mean, your take on the whole rap music thing is just garbage, hot garbage anyway. Your fake anger on the, oh, that promo, rap music isn't what it used to be.
No. The promo stinks. The promo stinks, Dawn. Whatever you guys said before or after the conversation, like Lucas and I both, we flew back from the microphone as if somebody had just like passed gas. It was terrible.
Tell me you legit feel like rap music nowadays is better than what it used to be?
Are we starting this fight because I moved the couch behind you? Is this the genesis of your anger? Is this the place?
No. I started this with you prior to the movement of the couch, and then the movement of the couch just like solidified you on my bad side here. Yeah. No, actually, the comment that I'm your parents' age like solidified all of this rage that is now in me right now as I'm driving down the road.
Tara, yeah, well, don't take that out on the good drivers of Middle Tennessee.
Watch out, Nashville.
Watch out, Nashville. She's on the loose. Tara Adams has written in on Facebook, don't think you want to be on Dawn's hit list. Yes, it's not a comfortable place to exist, Tara, I can assure you. So, no. The rap conversation is completely and totally irrelevant to me, Dawn, just because there are so many more people creating content that it's impossible for the content to not be better, even if largely the marketplace is watered down. You're talking about like
that is
three or
the
four guys.
Take ever. Hold on. Let me put this in draft terms, okay?
All right, please do.
So if there are more players, more draftable players in a year, then that means automatically the level of talent is going to be higher. That's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Because there's more draftable players, the talent's going to be higher or yes. better.
Yes, that's what I'm saying to you.
That's what you're saying? No, that's terrible. That is not accurate. That's a terrible take. You're like, oh, well, quantity gives you quality. No, that ain't the case.
Yeah, you got a better chance of finding quality if there is greater quantity, Dawn. That's not a difficult argument to make at all. You're just angry at me.
You have a better chance of a whole lot of crap being out there, which is exactly my point.
Dawn Davenport of 3HL, not my parents' age, joins us on 104.5 The Zone. The
not
absolutely
your
roast.
Parents' age. Did Lucas play a little Tupac coming into this?
Hit me up.
Hit him up. Lucas played coming in.
Not even one of the greats, but okay, there we go.
It's a classic.
I don't know. Listen, this coward is trying to get as far away from me as humanly possible because he doesn't want to be lumped
I recoiled to the promo just like you did. I was on your side, but then you did the parents' age thing and you moved the couch, and these are things I don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You do realize that that my nickname at one point was the Angry Chihuahua.
No, I did not realize that. What did you do to garner such a nickname?
I don't know. Apparently, I rage sometimes. What people tell me.
Are you, black out? Yeah, we all see it, Dawn, on a regular basis. We love you for it. But yeah, that's what, are you just go unconscious when you go on one of your tangents?
I don't know. You know. Anyway, so...
Anything else you want to get off your chest? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to need, first of all, your quantity, quality. I don't even know how to respond to that because it's just dumb.
Yep.
You know what? It's as dumb as Brent trade your entire draft if you're the Titans to go get Kyle Pitts, you know? It's that dumb. So I'm just obliterating everybody today, aren't I?
It's okay.
This is what I'm going to need you to do. I'm going to need you to get off your show today. Yep. When you're done, I'm going to need you to download a Tupac album and from start to finish, listen to it and listen to the stories that are told and listen to the pictures that are painted in that rap music. And then send me something nowadays of rap music that compares that I need to listen to.
Then I'm gonna throw on some Jack Harlow talking about eating hot wings in Music City in Atlanta. Then we'll compare
Magic City.
Magic City. then compare the quality versus the quantity. Dawn Davenport of 3HL. Although I will say, Dawn, not to give you a parting shot on the way out the door because I'm already fearing for my life at this point. But if I was to accuse you of being close to my parents' age, I would say that somebody talking about downloading an album would be close to my parents' age.
Oh, God.
Goodbye, Dawn. Love you.
Yeah, all right. Hey, get off my phone. See ya, bud.
3HL, 3-6, here on 104.5 The Zone. I don't think I'm going to survive that one. I fear for my life. 615-737-1045. V-Love has tweeted in, Freddie Gibbs over Tupac. I'm 100% with that opinion. 100% with that opinion. And it's not, I don't even think it's Tupac's fault. Like, Tupac could have gone on to more greatness, but I feel like Tupac dying at the age, I mean, Tupac died at like 25, which is insane. I'm 2 years older than Tupac was when he died, and he had this kind of an impact, which absolutely says something to him. But I feel like we have this tendency, and this is in sports too. By the way, if you want to chime in, 615-737-1045 as Dawn roasts me on my own radio show. I think in sports and in music, we have a tendency to, even though somebody who is great and passes away, they were great during the time of their greatness, whatever it was, like Steve McNair. Steve McNair is another one of these who gets elevated by the legend of Steve McNair. Tupac gets elevated by the legend of Tupac. That is not taking away from any of the impact or any of the greatness or any of the moments that they had. But as you know, it's like a good fishing story. The fish gets bigger every time you tell the story, right? The legend grows every time you tell the story. And I feel like that's what we tend to do with people who pass away at a young age. Not that they weren't great at the time of their greatness, but the greatness can't continue to grow in a way that makes them so much greater than they actually were at the time when they were doing the things that made them great. 615-737-1045. Casey is in Lewisburg. He's here on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Casey?
What's up, my man? So, yeah, I was with Dawn a little bit until she was talking about the quantity over quality. Back in the day, too, I'm not going to take away Tupac and Biggie. All of them had lasting impacts on the game as far as the rap game. But like you said, there's so much music being put out that just the percentage of good music is going to be way higher just based off the volume of music put out. And as I was about to say, obviously there's going to be worse music just as you're putting out good music. But, look at Drake. Obviously, like you said before, he's not for everybody. But the guy's got, like, 4 Grammys and over, like, 100 awards just in music. You can't sit there and say there's people in the music industry that's not making just as good of music back in the day, if not better.
That's what I'm saying. We appreciate the call, Casey. 615-737-1045. Like, my thing, like, Drake may not be for everybody. Drake may not be the height of the craft, but there's a reason that Drake hits Billboard number one after Billboard number one after Billboard number one. Like, he is absolutely, he's a monster in the music industry. You can't tell me that music is that popular and can't compete with stuff that came 20 years before. That just doesn't make sense to me.
With that being said, I would take almost any Tupac album being played over most of the mumble rap that was played at parties when I was in college.
Mumble rap is a different thing, right? The Migos are like the genesis of the mumble rap, and now everybody does it. Now you have like auto-tune on mumble rap, and it's just like this mechanical monstrosity. Like, I'm not saying that all new music is good. In fact, there's a good deal of it that's crap, without question. But from my standpoint, like, I just think there are so many more platforms. Just because we have the internet now, for God's sakes, there's so many different places that you can reach for creative talent instead of all of it coming from one place. The world is so much smaller now because we all have access to SoundCloud.
She wants you to send her an album, right, that will compare with, she said, pick any Tupac album, listen to it from start to finish. Like, send her Damn by Kendrick Lamar. The only rap album to win a Pulitzer Prize. Send her Mac Miller's latest album, Rest in Peace.
Man, R.I.P. That's the best concert I've ever seen in my life. It was senior year of high school, which I definitely should have been at. I shouldn't have been there at Indiana University that weekend, but it was a Wiz Khalifa concert. Mac Miller opened for him.
You kidding me?
In the back lot of my buddy's frat, like my buddy's brother's frat. It was insane. Insane.
That doesn't compute with me.
Some dude got tased like directly. Speaking of 420, it was loud at the Mac Miller Wiz Khalifa concert, and just the undercover cops just ducking and diving and taking people down left and right, completely oblivious to everything that was going on because two of the greatest artists in our generation, not my parents' generation, not Dawn's generation, out there doing the thing. In a parking lot in Bloomington, Indiana. 615-737-1045. We're going to get into the Vols talk coming up next. Josh Heupel, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. He was on J. Martin Ramon this morning, in fact. And I have some thoughts about what it is that he was basically selling to all of you. Find out what that is coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.